When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on The Grave Talks, a conversation about Alamo City ghosts with J.R. Pleban. With a 300-year history dating back to 1718, it's no surprise that San Antonio is one of Texas's most haunted cities. Tourists come to San Antonio for the amazing food, the river walk, and the beautiful ambiance that keeps the city alive and lively during the day. But for those interested in frightening legends, there are plenty of haunted spots to explore after dark. There are reports of ghostly apparitions of those who fought in the pivotal struggle for Texas's independence from Mexico at the Alamo. There have been claims of a president haunting a well-known hotel. The vibrant paranormal activity clearly reveals that not all of its ghosts are able to forget what happened to them in life. In this episode of The Grave Talks, we talk with J.R. Pleban, owner of Alamo City Ghost Tours. What got you interested in doing these ghost tours?
Well, we were actually doing historical tours. There's a lot of history here. And we decided to do a ghost tour, which is ghosts is something I've always had an interest in. And we decided to do a ghost tour for the Concierge Association. That's what led into the ghost tours. They enjoyed it so much that they said, you ought to do this. And that's when we started playing around with the ghost tours over 25 years ago.
Now, were you interested in the paranormal before then? Like maybe when you were a kid?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had an experience when I was 8. And then when I was about 14, I had another experience. And that kind of made me think, you know, I'm not just some dumb kid. Other people have had these experiences too. There's something to it. And that's kind of what got my interest up in traveling and living in haunted places, and that just kind of, it just all developed.
Because I find a lot of people that I talk to on this show, their interest in the paranormal started when they were young.
Well, when we started playing around, trying to ghost hunt, we were playing around with flour and powder and fishing lines and bells for fishermen and this type of thing. Because there was no equipment or anything else. There was just people who had seances, basically, and that type of thing.
And then it's kind of awesome. You made a career of it.
Yeah, never even thought about it at the time. It was just something that we enjoyed, and it was a way of having fun and being out at night and going to different locations that you normally wouldn't be able to get into.
This is a big question because San Antonio has such a deep, rich, interesting, bloody, gruesome history, all of the things. And San Antonio has been around, like, I think it was founded like in 1718, but it goes way back before then when you think about the indigenous people on the land. It has such a deep history that when you look at the hauntings of San Antonio, it just seems like every place is haunted in San Antonio.
Well, and we still have buildings here that existed from, like, the governor's palace. 1721, they started that thing. And the people that lived in it, not only that lived in it and died, but lived in it and enjoyed being there. And I think, too, that's something that draws spirits back to a location. Not necessarily death, being where they enjoyed being, where they were important.
That also goes to the battles that happened there in San Antonio. You know, these men were fighting and they gave their lives for something they really passionately believed in. So I could see then why they would stick around.
Yeah, like the first Battle of the Alamo wasn't fought at the Alamo. It was actually fought down in town.
I read about several different hotels supposedly being built on battleground sites. And
well, you know, anything around the Alamo was a battleground site. Yeah. Like you take the Gibbs Hotel, that's actually built on the wall where they came over. Right on that corner of their hotel, there's a plaque in the sidewalk that tells you that is the corner that they came over the wall. Today, they believe it was more into the middle of the hotel, but they know that it was right there. And that's also where Travis was killed.
Now, I read when they were building that hotel a long time ago, they actually dug up cannons.
Well, yeah, but the cannons were actually trucked there by the Maverick family. And he was the one that actually signed the Declaration of Independence of Texas.
But they brought the cannons there?
They brought them in there to build the foundation of his house. They owned that property. Matter of fact, they had a garden there at one time before they built the house. And the Indians came in and killed the people that were working in the garden, so they quit having a garden right there. They also buried them right there where the garden was.
You know, when you think about it, things were much different back then. You know, you had to bury someone quickly. It gets quite hot in Texas. And you can't, especially when it's a battleground, a lot of times they just buried people right where they died.
Well, they talk about, like, after the Battle of the Alamo, for instance, right? Santa Ana lost over 500 men up there. They had to carry them almost a mile to which is now Milam Park, which was the city cemetery at that time. They had to carry the bodies almost a mile. When they come across the river, they threw so many bodies in the river, it actually dammed it up.
I just had a visual of that. That is incredible.
Yeah. Imagine it. All these bodies. So many that it dammed up
the river.
They say 4 or 5 days went by before they had to start busting apart them dams of bodies. When they did, they were so hot, so swollen, they started exploding. They say that that's what actually gave the river the red tint after the Battle of the Alamo, was when they started busting apart them bodies. You can find when books where they talk about how the skies are blacking out from all the birds coming in to feed on those bodies. There's so much death that's been here any one of those men could want to remain behind or come back.
Mentioning the battle there at Alamo, we have to talk about the Alamo, because I've read that it is haunted. It's an interesting place. I went there once, and it was much smaller than what I thought it was going to be. But they say that it's a very haunted site. What have you heard about that?
Do you believe everything people tell you?
I don't. But it also would make some sense to me. Obviously, when I went, there's all kinds of tourists there. I didn't pick up on anything at all. But I could see why it would be.
To think that there's not any activity up there at all would be kind of, it just wouldn't make sense that there wouldn't be. The stories that I've heard over time have actually been from people that work there. The workers who will feel like there's somebody there beside them, they'll actually turn around to say something and there won't be anybody there. You know, there's stories about how the guards in the early mornings used to wake up, and some mornings they would see what appeared to be a man on horseback riding through the grounds.
Do you take your tours there?
Oh, we did for many years. I don't anymore. That area is just, there's so many tours up there now.
Oh, I bet.
And, you know, we were the first, and now there's 13. So I've moved my tours, and we're down in the what's called the main plaza area. See, only one battle really took place out there at the Alamo. Downtown and main plaza is where the other battles took place. And everybody that starts a tour out at the Alamo walks a mile to get you down the main plaza to the most haunted locations. But today, we just do our tours down in that area.
And you know, with the Alamo itself, there's so many people there that if you're doing a ghost tour, it's more of a historical tour at that point.
Well,
because
that's
so many
really
people
what it's
there.
About. Like, I used to point out the 666 that's written in the front of the Alamo. You're never going to go in it at ghost time.
And what does it have a 666 for? I've never heard that.
There's a lot of different stories, but the best explanation that I've ever heard is it used to be 666 Alamo Plaza.
Of all the numbers, it would be 666.
It's got, on the right-hand side, of outside of what was one of the windows, you can see it. It's sick. Matter of fact, I was in my doctor's office here a few months ago, and I was telling the girl, they got a huge picture of the Alamo in the office. And I said, hey, you know that, you see the 666 on the front of the Alamo? And she looked at me like I was a little strange. And I said, no, stand up there beside that picture. I'm going to point it out to you. And you move your hand where I tell you, and you're going to see it. And all of a sudden, it popped to her. There it is. It's 666 written right in the mortar. Lots of them have that 666 very vivid because they were done 20, 30 years ago. Now they've been sunbaked, there's been work, that type of thing.
So when you do your tours, and I don't want to give away every place you go or anything like that, because I want people to actually go when they go to San Antonio and take your tour. But tell me about a couple of the places that you go and some of the places that you feel maybe
I do a lot of the kind of back areas, alleys and things like this downtown. And we do the governor's palace and the jail, the main two things that everybody walks from the Alamo all the way down there to see. The churches has got some activity. When I started the tours, a priest showed up out there one night while I was doing my tour, and I thought for sure this guy was going to give me problems. I was on the church grounds and everything, and I was talking about faces that appear in the wall. And he started telling us, oh, yeah, there's stories of that, faces appearing in the walls for hundreds of years. He says that on the inside, well, I know this, but he also was saying how the people were entombed in the walls. Some of the priests are actually buried in the floor. So yeah, there's activity down there, but I don't, it's not like you ever feel uneasy.
It looks amazing. That's
it is. It's been there since they started it in 1738, but they claimed the area in 1731.
It's just amazing to me how old San Antonio is. You know, but you think about its location and it makes
sense.
A
lot of the old is disappearing, though.
What do you know about the Emily Morgan Hotel? And I was reading that it was a hospital.
It was at one time, yeah. I think around 1926, something like that.
And then at some point they turned it into a hotel.
They did around 84, 85.
Oh, so kind of relatively recently in its history. I guess the 80s are a
long
time ago.
Yeah, it actually, they turned it in from a hotel. It went to an office building, and then it became a hotel.
I was reading that when it was a hospital, you know, at the time, treatments for mental disorders and things were much different than they are today. And so a lobotomy was a practice that they did there. When you've gone there, do you pick up on anything?
Yeah, I used to do a lot of tours out of there. And it's there's a lot of activity there. I'll tell you a story. I'm not going to use the lady's name because the story's not that old. But I had some people that were staying there on my tour. And the lady kept asking me, what's the name Elvira mean to you? The only thing I could think of was that lady. They used to call her the Queen of Night.
Yes, exactly. That's what popped into my brain, too.
And I kept telling her nothing. Third or fourth time she asked me this, I said, look, what's it mean to you? And she says, well, she says, we're staying at the Emily Morgan. She says, last night before we went to dinner, I accidentally spilled baby powder on the nightstand. She said, when we come back home, my husband and I both seen the name Elvira in that powder. I told her, it's haunted, but I don't know anything about what Elvira would mean. Well, I started doing some research into it. As it turns out, there was a lady by the name of Elvira that was killed in that building on the eighth floor. She was staying in room 810, she was staying there with a boyfriend who was working at another hotel that was being built downtown. She starts calling the police and telling them she needs help. She's being stabbed. They're staying on the phone with her as they're trying to get to her room. When they bang on the door of the room, a man yells out, they don't need any help. The police kick the door open. When they do, he's stabbing her to death. They shoot him and he dies at the hospital. Her name was Elvira.
I don't know that I'd be able to really sleep if I walked in my back in my room and saw Elvira.
Well, that's why I think it was on her mind so much. Because like I said, it was a third or fourth time she had asked me and I kept telling her the name meant nothing to me.
What are some of the more interesting places that you find in San Antonio that with the, between the history and the hauntings that you've heard are pretty fascinating?
I'll tell you a place, Von Ormy.
Von
was named
Ormy.
After a count.
Okay.
There's a railroad track that run over the Medina River there. And there's what used to be a road that no longer is. The highway replaced it. And the bridge that went over the river is cut off right about in the middle of the river. But there's a railroad trestle that when you're on that bridge, you can see 100 feet or so away from you, this big railroad trestle. When you're back in there, you can hear a little boy calling out help. And when I did research on it, there was a boy by the name of David that was caught out there on them trestles and died. And there's several things that have happened in that area. And it is absolutely nothing there anymore. There used to be a tuberculosis place there and that. There's just the trestle and the old bridge. But it's one of the creepiest places I've ever been.
What do you know about the Menger Hotel.
The Menger.
Menger.
It's, you know, I think it's promoted for hauntings far more than it truly deserves.
But, really?
Oh, yeah. But at one time, like during the Civil War, it was used as a hospital and different things like that. And of course, there's been some people who have died in it. They talk about Sally White haunting it. Sally White actually didn't die in the hotel. She died at her little shack behind it. They did pay for a funeral, and she was a really well-liked person at the hotel. Teddy Roosevelt, they talk about him haunting the Menger Bar, but the Menger Bar would have been a different bar at that time in a different location. And, you know, there's been some changes to the hotel over the years.
And it is a good story to say Teddy Roosevelt haunted. If you're gonna have a haunting, get a dead president.
Yeah, the hauntings of the Menger Hotel start. Mr. Melacara used to be the public relations man, and he was doing a radio show in New York City. And he had a note. You know, he had his notes he was going to talk about, and he lost them in a suit pocket. He couldn't find them. And he was searching around, and his mind was going blank on what he wanted to talk about, and he said, "It's haunted." And he started telling some of the stories and things that have happened to him there. And that's when the Menger Hotel started getting the stories for being haunted.
So maybe he did experience hauntings, or maybe he didn't what to talk about.
There's no doubt about that. He wasn't lying. They were his experiences. But he was one of those people. When the Gunter Hotel, when the famous murder happened there, he was actually one of the managers there. He just wasn't on that night. The haunting seemed to happen at places he was at. He was one of those people that attracted that type of thing.
So do you think when people go on tours like that, their best piece of equipment is actually their phone?
And sure.
Getting pictures.
It's the best piece of equipment there is, period. Unless you happen, I believe everybody's intuitive. They might not believe that they are, and they don't practice seeing what they do feel.
Now, do you offer any equipment to people on your tours?
Well, yeah, we pass out EMF meters and dowsing rods.
And then kind of show them how to use them as you're
going
along?
Yes, we show you how to use them. Now, the EMF meters, you know, they're kind of self-explanatory. I give you one. I tell you I'm not trying to tell you every time this thing goes off you're picking up a ghost. We'll leave that for the TV shows. But I will answer any questions you have. It's your ghost hunt.
And I think that's interesting because, like, I've never used dowsing rods. I wouldn't know how to do it. So if I was to go get some today, I need someone to show me. So I
right.
like
and
that.
I teach you that. Yeah. And that's one of the things. I show you how to use the dowsing rod. I let you do a couple things that most people are amazed in their mind that they were able to do this. And then I will also take you to a spot and we'll find energy and I'll let you read the dowsing rods and feel it move and act and all that. So you actually know what they're about, because to me, they're one of the best things to find energy with.
And I just like that people who might be interested in doing a little paranormal investigation but never have, this would be a fun, interesting way to get some experience.
Ghost hunting equipment's not cheap. And so it gives you a way to actually, you, your family members, and that, you get to use some. And when you walk away, most people's thoughts about what they see on TV will change a bit. You were asking me about the Crockett. It's haunted. A few years ago, a lady was, one of the ladies working at the hotel was pulling her cart into the elevator. And when you pull the cart into the elevator, the cart's still in the hall. You're in the elevator and you're pulling it. When she went to step into the elevator hadn't come up. The doors open, but the elevator wasn't there.
Oh.
She dropped to her death.
Oh, my God.
That's also when they talk about, that's where they did the tortures, where the monks did the tortures and that to the Indians, was on that ground.
And that's right by the Alamo, correct?
It's right behind the Alamo.
Okay.
That grounds is also where was, of course, where the battle took place. They tore it down, but there used to be what was the office building. And people that worked in there would talk about coming into the office and seeing a man kicked back with his boots kicked up on the desk and a cowboy hat, but nobody would ever see his face, just the image of him. And when they tore down that building, I've never heard about it again. So, there's just so much history around.
But I also get why so many people would be connected to San Antonio and various locations there.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
And for a lot of people, this was a great place to live. They had great lives here. I don't know. I think I might want to come back and if I have a choice to see what is where I once was.
Well, see, you could come back and you could haunt the other people out on ghost tours. You could give them something to react to.
I had a friend that was murdered here about a year ago.
Oh, no.
And I swear sometimes he shows up down there.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine.
It's not something you want to live
through. Mm-mm. But if sometimes there is kind of a comfort in feeling like you've made a connection with him.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of a comforting
case,
thing for you.
I'm not the only one that feels he's still around. Other people have had experiences with him as well.
I don't think they can connect with everybody. I don't think everybody's totally open to it. Like that sort of thing is on demand.
Here's
you know,
what
it happens,
happens
or it so doesn't.
I tell everybody use a camera, right? But I keep a piece of equipment in your hand the whole time, or pretty much the whole time. Right after a little while after we start, I start passing out equipment. So there's really no, you got equipment. You're supposed to be using a camera too. Most people never break out a camera because they're using the equipment. What some people do is they'll have one family member have equipment and they'll use the camera.
Yes. That's a good idea.
So that they're kind of double teaming.
Because you can pick up a lot with your camera.
When you do get home, is looking at everything that you shot at the time. But you just never know what you're going to find.
Mm-hmm.
Just because a place is haunted, don't mean you're going to pick something up there.
Well, JR, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
You have a great day.
Do the same. And that wraps up our conversation with J.R. Pleban from Alamo City Ghost Tours. Get more information about their tours at alamocityghosttours.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts and you can try it for 3 days free. Or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. Find everything there. Also, all ad free. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thanks for listening.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.